We're so glad you joined us today. There is so much that God wants to do in and through you, and we want to hear about it. Please take a moment to share your story with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to contribute financially to this ministry, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.
Yesterday, man, if you don't know anything about our church, if you're new or been asleep, I don't know, whatever, been asleep, vacation, whatever. So this year we're doing 2 years ago, we couldn't find a missions that we felt like the Lord wanted us to be involved in. Like, I traveled to foreign countries looking for missions to get involved in and couldn't, like, find one the Lord would talk to me about. Kendall and Erica, which Kendall's in a teal shirt, and Erica, yep, there you go. Kendall and Erica right there walked in our door and decided this is where the Lord planted them. We got to talking, and they had been missionaries to Haiti. And so the Lord just pricked my heart and said, man, this is absolutely the ministry that I feel like our church was supposed to support. So we began to jump in, and I think you guys only had a month before you were leaving or two, and the church got involved in that and sponsored some of it. And then they came back to us, and the church they had been working with kind of fell through as a location for them to do fundraisers through. So, of course, we stepped in. Last week we did... yesterday we did a fundraiser for the Haiti's missions team. It was a craft and jewelry sale, and I think we raised $854. Heck yeah. And then in June, we are doing a fish fry. Heck yeah, we're in the South. We'll fry anything. We'll fry Twinkies in the South. You know what I'm talking about? Not saying it's good. It's good. It's just arterial. Anyway, but I'm believing God that, and first of all, thank all of our volunteers who came yesterday. Just amazing. Sonny, thank you for heading that up for us and coordinating that. Sonny is just a tremendous help here. And then Grace, there you go, sticking her hand up. It's just a sweet young lady, just got accepted to Wake Forest. We'll be going for a pre-med. Yep. So if you're a single guy, smart, and loves God, we'll probably make more money than you do, so be confident in yourself. is going to Africa in July, fully funded. Thank the church for part of that. The amazing thing about Grace's deal is she talked to me about it early on. I said, the church will sponsor you, but I want you to raise a lot of the money yourself. Show me, you know, you show me some, and because I think that there has to be effort in to get support out. I mean, that's, okay, anyway. So she came to us, and we were believing God for one amount, and then she texted me and said, hey, I got some extra money back in my tax thing, and there was left just a little gap, and the Lord just touched our heart as a church, and we just filled that gap in. And so she's fully funded. And then Liz came up to me, and Liz is our amazing worship leader, and came up to us and said, the Lord's called me to Africa too, and I'm going with a totally different group to do this different thing. She's actually going down to train worship pastors and pastors on how to lead folks in worship. And I had a pastor friend of mine came up to me and said, you know what, you can only do so much, you can't sponsor all these missions. And I said, watch us. Don't. I will be honest with you. I take it as a personal challenge if you start telling me what God can and can't do. I mean, just shut up. I'm not even listening to that. So as soon as we finish that, we're going to jump on Liz's trip, and we're just going to see what God does. And people are like, stop reasoning it. We're just going to do it. Where's it going to come from? God. Where's everything else come from? God, where'd my oxygen come from? Do you realize that if we change 1%, what are we at, 21% oxygen? Where's Jesse at? 21% is ambient oxygen. If you change it to 20%, people start dying. You don't see people running around going, how are we going to stay at 21? Well, I guess you do some people, but. Does this make sense? Look, God brought me this far in my life and has brought this church this far, and he ain't going to quit. And if God called him, I reckon he's going to cover it, because you don't call me somewhere you don't provide for. And I'm going to say this. Liz has covered about a ton of her trip out of her own pocket. She's just like, I just started writing it out of my savings. I figure if the Lord called me, it's all his anyway. I'm like, slap hands. Grace looked at me and said, well, I just went and got a job. Slap hands. Lord called you. Does this make sense? Kendall and Erica were like, yeah, we did this. And we bought some of this out of our own pocket just to try to raise money for them. I'm like, slap hands. Because what you're willing to invest in, God is willing to multiply. Does that make sense? If you're not willing to sacrifice, get out of the way. Don't expect God to do something. God is not a God of action. God is a God of reaction. He's already done all the action he has to do. Remember, he said, if you call on my name, I'm faithful and just to hear you. Knock, and I'll answer. Seek, and you'll find. Asking, right? But if you don't do anything, I'm okay to sit still. You get desperate enough, you'll knock, you'll seek, you'll ask. I'm okay with it. Your kid ever want to go somewhere and you go clean your room and they start crying? You're not hurting me. I got full surround sound. Go back to your room. Hockey lasts like 4 hours. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I got all the time in the world. I don't want to. Anyway, okay. So proud of our church, proud of our teams. If you got your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. So last week I was getting ready for this week's message. I was writing last week's message, and then the Lord just began to deal with my heart. And I want to talk to you today about a blind man walking. And so the whole context of today's message is some things that God said about the way we're to walk and the way that we're to live our life that really don't make any sense. And we talk about them, even inside of Christianity, we talk about them in Christianese without really having an understanding of what we're talking about. I am excited about next week's message. Just putting it on your radar, next week's message is going to be called Out of Order. Have you ever, I was talking with Kyle. Kyle's here. Kyle's our HVAC guy. He's just brilliant at his job. And so Kyle's fixed our church air conditioning. He's fixed my personal air conditioning. He's fixed some of y'all's air conditioning. And generally when I call Kyle, I make a statement like this. Hey, Kyle, come fix my air conditioning unit. It's broke. Because I speak to my brokenness from a general perspective. Okay, I feel like the devil just moved into my house. It's hot. There's nothing cold blowing from the floor. My AC unit broke. But Kyle looks at it and he says, what small component in your system is out that makes the whole system not work? Now you know my message. Most of us look at our life and think that our lives are broken when in reality it's only small components that are off that are making the whole system not work. So we're going to take a look at those. I don't know if it's going to be a one-hit wonder or it's going to be a series. I'll let you know. Right now my whiteboard, thank you, Kendall, is slap full of options on it. So I'm pretty excited about it. But so 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7 says this, for we're to walk by faith and not by sight. Okay. How many of you guys have heard this scripture before, like ever in your life, that you're to walk by faith and not by sight? Keep your hand up just for a second. If I ask you to come to the pulpit and explain it, if you're confident in doing it, keep your hand up. That's pretty much what happens. Can I have a volunteer? And it is probably going to require your hair being messed up, so it's probably a guy thing. Are you good with it? Okay, come here for just a second. Have we talked about this beforehand? Okay, great. Well, we do Instagram Live here, so I'm going to have to cover your head, but I figured if we're going to cover it, I might as well cover it with something that has a logo on it. It's a shameless plug. So if you will, if you'll cover your head, just leave the top of your head, whatever's sticking out. I would like the logo to show just because it's free publicity. So if you notice in this, just cover your eyes. There you go. I love it. So the scripture says this. It says that we're to walk by faith and not by sight. Fair enough. So if I look at Brandon and I say, okay, Brandon, what I want you to do is I want you now from this point forward to live your faith, your life by faith and not by sight. So now what I want you to do is I want you to, can you see through that? If you can, close your eyes. No cheating. Are they closed? Okay, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go ahead and walk to the back door. Whoa, 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 whoa. Are you about to step into something? Well, why did you stop?
You started hollering.
Okay, so now let me ask you a question. So when the scripture says that we're to walk by faith and not by sight, do you think that the sight that they're talking about is just vision? Because if you understand something, that when your faith is tested, it's not just tested by what your eyes can naturally see, but it's tempted by what you hear too. So what if I looked at Brandon and I said, hey, I want you to okay, you can pull that down just for a second because I'm not about to try to, there you go. If you'll take those out and put them in. If I said this, I said, okay. Thrive Church does neither condone nor promote the use of I'm just saying, out of some of the people that are here, that was might have been our best. Anyway, go ahead and put those in. Now, pull that back up over your eyes. So what happens is this, is that I didn't do away with Brandon's ability to hear, but I only diminished what he could hear. We've also limited his sight. So now if I told you to go ahead and walk. Now, before you go any further, can you hear me pretty well? Or is it diminished? Okay, so what if this? What if to walk by faith is not only to diminish what's here, what you hear, and diminish what you see, but what if I looked at, do you care about him?
Yes.
Okay, put your stuff down for just a second. And now what I'd like for you to do is I'd like to stand up right in front of him, and I want you to turn around and face the door. Now you know where you're going, right? I want you to reach back and offer him a hand. You take a hand. Now I want you to lead him to the door without him massively hitting anything. This could either be a great point or it could end. Okay, you guys can stop right there. That's close enough to the door. Brandon, you can pull that off so that coming back is easier. And so could it be that to walk by faith, you can have a seat. Somebody will get a partially used shirt. So could it be that to be led by faith is to adjust our five senses, but not only just to allow ourselves not only to not listen and not see certain things, but to listen and see and be led by other things. Because in order to have faith, we're told all the time, how many of you guys said this? In order to have faith, you got to let go of fear. Well, that's great, but I understand this. If I'm holding on to a pole and I let go of one thing and I don't hold on to something else, I'm just going to fall. Romans 10, I'm just going to use 17, says this. It says, because we know the first thing says that we walk by faith and not by sight. Romans 10, 17 says this. So then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So here's the thing. If I want to increase my faith, I have to increase my intake of the word. So could it be that faith isn't based on sight? And by sight, I'm going to say our five senses, right? So what if you quit believing what you heard, what you saw, what you tasted, what you touched, and even what you smelled? People would call you crazy. The scripture says, but I want you to take on that mind which was also in Christ Jesus. Now let's just take a step back and look at the faith that Christ had. They show up, Jesus is preaching, everybody's hungry. Jesus said, look, we're going to feed them. The disciples looked at him and said, I don't know what you're talking about because McDonald's is closed. Jesus, there's nowhere around here to send them. You done let us off into a place where nothing exists. Because remember, they got to where they were at where there was no food because they were following Jesus. Jesus took like the Woodstock of event places. If you're a historian at all and you know anything at all about Woodstock was a rolling disaster. Like if you ask like a millennial or something, they're going to tell you how great Woodstock was. Woodstock in and of itself was a disaster historically. They underplanned the bathrooms. They had very little. Do you know that in order to get food supplies in there, that the runners of the event actually had to charter helicopters to bring food in because they had clogged the road up so much they couldn't get supplies into the people that were already there. Like, Jesus, you led us a place where there's no provision. And watch what Jesus does. Jesus said, well, give me this little boy's lunch. This has a lawsuit written all over it. So we're going to kill all these people, and the one little kid who was smart enough to pack a lunch, we're going to steal his lunch. Can you imagine a pastor going to visit your kid in school and taking their lunch? Mama, Pastor Adam came to visit me today. Really, how did that go? He took my pizza. I'm getting a phone call and perhaps a face-to-face visit from somebody's father. So what Jesus did was he looked at him and he said, you can't believe what you see. What you see is lack and a place where there's no provision. Now let me show you what's really here. Jesus takes his disciples out in the boat twice, as a matter of fact, and a violent storm, basically a hurricane, shows up, and they're feeling the rain. They're smelling that. Have you ever been at the beach and a storm's coming in and you go, it's about to get right? I can feel it in the air. Every sense that you have, I can see the storm cloud. I know what's about to happen. Jesus wasn't on these boats with a bunch of people on a cruise ship. He was on it with dedicated fishermen and sailors. They knew what was about to happen. And Jesus looked at him and said, oh, ye of little faith. See, there's this reoccurring thing that detaches our senses from our faith. Because we know that Scripture says this. It says, but faith is the substance of things hoped for. Stop. Just don't go any further. Faith is made up. Substance is made up. Faith is made up of the things you just hope for. But where do you get that hope? Because I know people that believe crazy stuff all the time. You ever talk to somebody who they sound spiritual but ain't got nothing to do with God? I just pray that, anyway, I'm not even going to do that. I got ready to start using examples. You ever watch people pray that God blesses their mess? I just need God to bless me to get out of this financial mess. Are you a tither? No, I'll tithe after I get out. So you'll believe God to stop the storm once it's over. You know what? I love my wife the way Christ loved the church. When she, oh, I get it. So once the problem's fixed, you'll start doing what you're supposed to. Well, I wouldn't have to act like this if y'all weren't. That's a mom statement right there, by the way. Can I just, like, I'll lay it on men all the time because I'm one and I know. But a woman, can I be honest? Can you come in and your house is dirty? And I know Brandon and I are in trouble when Tracy comes in and her eyes roll back in her head and it starts spinning in circles and she starts talking like this. You know what I'm saying? And I'll be like, honey, calm down. It's just a few dishes. It's just, you know, the house is just a wreck. It can be fixed. And she's like, I wouldn't have to be like this if y'all would just pick. Y'all are two grown men. It's okay. This knife cuts both ways. Honey, they're just trying to merge in traffic. I got men right now that are literally falling forward and covering their face. I wouldn't yell at them if they'd learn how to drive. See, God's given me a gift of driver's education. It's a spiritual. No, here's the thing. I wouldn't have to act like this if they'd learn how to drive. So their driving is. What if I said this? I'm working on it. I'm not there. What if I said, I'm not going to be moved by the things I see around me? Can you imagine if your wife walked in and you knew she was going to lose her mind? Let's be honest, men. We do stuff sometimes and we're like, they're going to lose their junk. It's just, can I get a witness? Just, it's going to happen. Can you imagine your wife? Yeah, there's a storm a brewing. Can you imagine what would happen if your wife walked in and she went, yeah. You know what? I know this house looks like a mess right now. But the Word talks about what kind of husbands and sons you are. And I know that you all have the ability to do this. You know what? I'm not even going to worry about this because I know that the Lord's going to touch your heart. And when I come back in an hour, this is going to be fixed in Jesus' name. I'm getting the vacuum cleaner out of the closet. Do you see what I'm talking about? What if we quit? What if we said, you know what? Everything in my job looks like it's going crazy. But the Lord said I was the head, not the tail. I was the lender, not the borrower. So rather than go into this thing, if I lose my job, the Lord's just going to do something different. I mean, look, if the Lord fed Elijah from a crow, now let's be honest, I'm not signing up for that meal. But if the Lord's going to take care of him to that level, that's before Jesus. How much more is he going to take care of me? The word says that he'll take care of the birds of the air and that you don't see them freaking out over what they wear, what they're going to eat. So why should I? Because God loves me more than a sparrow, right? What if I said, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Because here's the thing. In order for you to see, you can only look at one thing at a time. So where's your focus? Because see, I think that faith has a lot to do with focus. You ever get sick and call your mama? Or you call your neighbor? Or your coworker? Yeah, man, I got this little pain. The doctor said they didn't think there was anything to it. It's just a little side pain. My cousin had that and she died in 3 days. I mean, dead as a hammer, just kicked right off. I mean, I'm sure you're going to be fine. Well, it does feel a little worse, doesn't it? Do you know why? Because your faith is now focused on what they said. I believe that when the word says this, that we're to walk by faith and not by sight, it means to become singular, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, right? That's what we just learned. That maybe faith isn't looking at what's going on, it's looking at what the Bible said should be going on. It's like this, when I get sick, I can sit there and go, oh my gosh, I'm sick. Or I go, you know what the Lord said? That by his stripes, I was healed. So I'm not going to sit here and worship this sickness. I'm going to sit here and worship the person who heals sickness. What if the disciples were in a storm? Because bad teaching says that you ignore the storm. Don't ever say you're sick. That's a lack of faith. No, that's silliness. You got snot stuck to the side of your head. You're sick. You're a woman and you sound like a 50-year smoker. You know what I'm saying? Like if you call your wife and she's like, hello. You not feeling good? No, I feel fine. You been smoking? What? I'm okay. You know what I'm saying? That's awful. Shouldn't have done that. Some things happen on the fly that shouldn't. But how many of you guys in church have ever been taught? How many of you guys in church have ever been taught that you ignore facts? Because it wasn't like this. David didn't walk up and go, there's no giant there. I don't know what y'all are hiding from. I don't see him. Because if I'm there, I'm walking up to him and go, hey, see the big dude in the middle? The one yelling at you? That's the giant. You know what David did? David never focused on the giant. Because if you read Hebrews, it talks about David being a man of faith, right? David walked up and said, well, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? Who's this person that's not godly? You coming against me with weapons? I'm coming against you with God. I mean, like, it's like bringing a knife to a gunfight. You just picked the wrong you picked the wrong fight. Where is our faith in God's ability? Where is our focus in God's ability to do what God promised us he would do in our lives? Hebrews 11 said, now faith is a substance, the things hoped for, and the evidence of things not seen. I love this verse, this chapter of the Bible. It says, for by it the elders have gained a good testimony. So by faith they obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, and the same things which are seen were not made of things which were visible. He said, what you've got to understand is everything that you're freaking out about came out of faith. Because when God spoke it, God believed it was going to happen. And because we believe in God, we believe that that's the way all this stuff came to be. By the word of God. So to live means that we should live by the word of God. Matter of fact, when Satan came to Jesus, Jesus looked at him and said, man doesn't live by bread alone. Notice he didn't say he only lives by God. He said, heaven and earth have to kiss. He said, man doesn't live by bread alone, but rather by every word that comes out of the mouth of the Father. So when you face something, what you have to do is turn your fear and your concern into what God said and then put all your faith in. Does anybody remember when Texas Hold'em was like a big thing? What was everybody? We all played that game for one line. I'm all in. That moment. My problem is we played for fun. We didn't play for, I wasn't gambling or anything. But I always went all in with like two chips, right? Because I'm not really good at poker. I'm all in. There's my one. Right? I never forget one time we were playing, and I don't even know how it happened. Well, I do. I think I cheated. But because if you own the chips, you can just put extra in, right? It's like, hey, you're out of chips. No, I'm not. I got a box. I'm right here. Watch this. I fat stacked it one time, and I went all in. And I knew I had the win in hand. So, you know, back when you play Texas Hold'em, if you really wanted to do well, what you would do is they call it slow playing people. Is you get somebody who thinks they have a good hand, and you start out and you bid a few chips, and they match them. And then you go to the next card, right? You go to the river card, and you throw in a few chips. They throw in a few chips. Then you go to the flop, right? And the flop's where you make your move, right? Isn't that, if I'm wrong, somebody tell me. And you push all your chips in. Because they think they won, but you just suckered them. I mean, I'm not asking who's the gamblers in here, but I'm just saying what I'm telling you is the truth. So let me ask you this. If you really believe in God, don't you want to know what cards you're playing? So like when sickness comes to knock at my door, I want to know that by His stripes I'm healed. So I can slow play this thing a little bit. Are you tracking with me? Like watch it. I'm about to hit him on the flop. Oh yeah, I got a little chest cold. It's all good. Oh, the sniffles too. It's about to be on. Because then when I heal faster than everybody else, then what'd you take? Well, I took some ibuprofen. I took some decongestant. And I took the word like it was vitamin C tablets on an airplane. You know what I'm talking about? I mean, I was hitting some word like it was out of a Pez dispenser. I was just, right? Because I was going through sickness. So what I did was I went and found every scripture that had to do with sickness. And I just started taking it. And I started focusing on it. Because you ever know? Because I am the world's worst sick person. I'll tell you how sick I am. Tracy, come be like, are you okay? I'm dying. Jesus is taking me now. What's wrong? I got a hangnail. It hurts bad. Right? Men are awful at sickness. Can I get a witness from anybody? Women will give birth while ironing clothes. Men will get a headache and we're out of work for a week. I'm just saying, it's just maybe not every. I got people over here arguing. That's not me. It's okay. I'm not pinning it on everybody. Just the rest of us. So the point is, what are you going to focus on? You know what? I feel like I'm terminally single. No, terminal is a disease. In the Garden of Eden, in the very beginning, God said that it wasn't good for man to be alone. Man there is not a gender, it's a species. Because from man, woman was made. They're one species. It's a setup. I'm not going to get all depressed about being single. Single is not a condition. It's a place in life. Yeah, but all my friends are married. So, give it a little time. Half of them will be divorced if they're statistically on point. Maybe God's just saving you some lawyer fees. Maybe He's maturing you to the fact that you don't marry some knucklehead or you stay married the rest of your life with some dude you hate. It's funny to me. I have women come to me all the time and they cry because they're not married. And then they come back 6 months later and they cry because they're married. I'm like, you prayed for him. I just prayed for a man. Yeah, you should have been a whole lot more specific. You know why you were? Because you didn't have the faith to wait on the man that God promised you. I didn't know what I wanted. It was all in the book. Here's, I can't believe I married the wrong woman. What was she, Proverbs 31? Oh, no, I never read that. I'm not a woman. Yeah, but are you looking for one? Because if you're looking for a godly woman, shouldn't she image 31? So if I get ready to go out with some chick, I'm going to be like, 31, come here. Oh, I'm glad they make those drop proof. Well, she's that, she's that. Ooh, she's not that. Nope, she's not that. Nope, she's not the one. I went and bought a truck. I wanted a V8. I wanted a four-wheel drive. I didn't want a bunch of bells and whistles, and I didn't want to pay an arm and a leg. I had people at car lots go, that's impossible, right? The truck market's really up. And I walked around and went, yep. What about the six-cylinder EcoBoost? Don't want it. I want a V8. And I want it on this Jeep. Say what you want to. It's my budget. So if it didn't match, it wasn't for me. Faith is saying, if it doesn't match what's in the Word of God, then it ain't for me. I made you the head, not the tail. Well, I'm feeling like the tail. Well, that ain't for me. I mean, are you really tracking with this? You know what? Everybody in my family died young. Well, you know what? Everybody in your family didn't know Jesus like you know him. They were looking at their heritage. You need to look at your genealogy. You ever notice all them begots in the Bible? They're in there for a reason, because most of them track Jesus back to the original. Makes sense? It had to do with his tribe. It had to do with his people. That way when people came up and said, where's he from? What good thing ever came out of there? He said, oh, no. You need to understand my heritage goes way beyond the town I was born in. Are you tracking with it? See, some of us were just taught horrible stuff for a long time. Anybody's family ever come up? When my wife and I first got married, she comes from a very religious family. I did good. And my problem is I really didn't get in the faith till I was 17. So I just went into the Word of God, and whatever it said is what I believed. I mean, like, I didn't have anybody teaching me that there was more to it. Because there's not. It's what God said. I mean, I don't mean this funny. I really don't care what anybody else says. My mama always taught me. Okay. I mean, your mama was wrong. Mama was wrong. Waterboy reference. I'm just saying. Mama was wrong. Grandma was wrong. May have loved Jesus. But I'm wrong sometimes. I mean, it's rare, but it happens. I'm kidding. But watch this. What if we really just went back to the Word of God and took it for everything it said? I used to get in horrible arguments with some members of her family because they would start telling me stuff that wasn't. I was in there. I'm not even going into it. But they would argue stuff and try to make it scriptural. But it wasn't at all what it meant. She's from up north and you're from down south. Y'all shouldn't get married. You can't be unevenly yoked. That's not what that's talking about at all. That's not what it's talking about at all. It's talking about believers and unbelievers. And if you try to say anything else, the Word says, cursed is the man who tries to add or take away anything from the Word. I gave you that quickly, by the way. Does this make sense? Don't be adding stuff to stuff God said. God said, by your stripes I was healed. I'm no respecter of persons. Right? Two scriptures married together in great context. Don't try to tell me God will heal some people and won't heal others. Now, we're all going to die because another scripture said it's appointed unto each man once to die. In the context of that, should they not go by rapture? You're going to die. You just ain't got to go out sick and all broken down looking like that. I'm just saying. Why do some people do that? Maybe they don't believe it. Because faith is about putting your blinders on and only focusing not on what you see and not on what you hear, but only focusing on what the Word of God says. I was on my way into a restaurant last night. When I walked in, Mel was sitting there. And Ethan was sitting there, but I forgot Ethan had flown in. And Liz had gone to the restroom. And so I thought he was somebody else. So I hugged her and just said, hey, Dad, how you doing? She goes, went on. And then Liz came out and she goes, hey. And I said, hey, I thought I saw this other guy out there. And I said, you know Mel was here? And she goes, yeah, she's out there with my boyfriend. And I'm like, Ethan? Yeah. I thought he was somebody else. And I kind of dismissed him. I mean, I wasn't like dismissed him. I like spoke to him, but I like didn't give him like the Ethan love. You know what I mean? Because I was focused on getting my gift cards. See, sometimes if you're really focused, you can look past stuff. You can look past the neighbor who's trying to convince you you're going to die because it doesn't line up with the word, with what God said about you. Because you got to understand the end of that same text that we were just in, verse 17 says, so then, because it goes through all this, that Hebrews 11 talks about all these people that are in the faith, or Romans talks about pleasing God and calling upon God. But Romans 10:17 says this, it says, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. If you scroll on down, we understand that faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But we also understand that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So could it be that faith is putting your blinders on and only listening and believing to what you hear from God? It's about pushing all in. Man, my marriage is awful. But what does God say about what your marriage could be? What if you quit looking at what it is and started looking at what it could be? If you've ever seen my office, Kelly and I were talking about this today. The office that I'm in, I started out in this. This is 4x5, 4x7, maybe. It's horrible. It's smaller than a coat closet. It was my office for about a year and a half. It was depressing. Thank God I had one. It's like a bad car, though. Trade up the first chance you get. I'm just saying. It's like Spam. It'll keep you alive. That's it. So we went out to build my office. My office is now outside. And when I walked in there, it was mud. It had water coming through it. It had spiders and mud daubers. No floor, no ceiling, just walls and a tin roof. And we walked back there, and I never forget, Kelly was with us, and I walked back there, and I said, now what I'm going to do, I'm going to have them put a floor in here, and we're going to put a ceiling in, we're going to sheetrock it, we're going to put an AC unit, a heat unit in here, and I want a workstation that goes all the way across, so I'm probably going to have to custom build it, and I want a big white board on the back, and I want right, and I start vision casting all this stuff, and all everybody else sees is a big pile of dookie in the right. So then we come in and we kind of get it in there. And I looked at Tracy and I said, you know what I want? I want a big clock. I want like a 6-foot clock on my back wall. So like right when you walk in, I want this huge clock there. Because you know what? Every time I come into the office, I want to remember one thing, that time is important. So one commodity that I have that I'll never be able to get back. So I want to remember every time I walk in my office that time is the biggest thing that the Lord's calling me to manage. Well, I don't know if you've ever shopped for a 6-foot clock before, but they're expensive. So I went on Amazon. That's what we all do, right? When you can't afford it, you go on Amazon. And I found this $20 clock. So cool. I'll get a picture of it for next week. But it's like it sticks on my wall. Jesse and I put it together. And so the dial's in the middle. So I've got like this 6-foot really cool-looking clock in my office. Kelly walked in there this morning. She hadn't seen it. She walked in this morning with Brandon. And when they came around the church, she goes, Brandon took her in there for something, and she came in and she said, man, I never would have believed that room would have looked like that. You really had a vision in it. You had faith in it when I couldn't see it. Does this make sense to you? Your life may look like a wreck, but if you'll keep believing in what God promised that it could look like, and you'll get blinders on. Because I'm going to tell you what, there were a couple of times when everybody around me was going, just forget about that room and go on and do something different, right? This is going to be a train wreck. This is going to take forever. It's never going to get finished. It's a mess. It's right. But if you'll keep the faith, if you'll keep believing, if you'll keep focused on what God gave you a vision for. And the problem is, without vision, people perish. Well, where do you get your vision from? Vision always comes from the Word of God. What does your marriage look like? Man, my marriage is in decay. Okay, but what does God say about marriage? God said that it should look like this, and it should look like this, and it should look like this. Well, you know what? Start moving towards it looking like that. Well, I'm doing what I'm supposed to, but everything keeps going wrong. Keep doing it. Watch this. Hebrews 11, verse 6 said, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must also believe that He is, and He that is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Do you ever notice that God puts faith and seeking Him in the same sentence? He said, now look, he said, without faith, it's impossible to please God. And he's really answering his own question. He said, well, how do I do it then? Well, God rewards, God brings back to people who seek him. So my question to you today is what are you facing? And if what you're facing seems like you can't get to it, is it possible that maybe you haven't put your blinders on? You haven't totally sold out to what God said you could be and what you could have? It's like this. If you're trying to get out of debt, what makes sense for you to do is just start paying stuff, right? But the word says this, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then everything else will be added to you. Well, you know what I really want? Have you ever known somebody who wanted a person in their life so much they were willing to do anything? If you want in your relationship, seek first the kingdom of God. See what God has to say and then singularly go towards it. That's faith. Do you remember the woman, Elijah comes and promises this rich lady that she'd have a kid because she built him a room on top of her house? So she ends up having it, and she looks at them and says, man of God, don't play with me. I love that line. Don't kid with me. She's about to get serious on his head. I mean, that's what was about to happen. He said, no, look, it's going to happen. Sure enough, a couple months later, she has a kid, and he comes back around. He tells her that the next time he comes around that she'll have a child. She has a child, and the kid starts growing up and goes out with his dad to work in the field, because that's what you did back then. That was how you went to school. You went to work with your dad. And he's out in Middle Eastern heat and probably had a heat stroke. And so they bring him back and they lay him on his mama's lap. So here this little boy is laying on his mama's lap and he dies. Have you ever felt like everything in your life is over? Now watch. If that is me, I am crying. I'm losing my mind. I'm screaming. I'm right. Because I only got one kid. And this lady calls for, and I'm going to put this in modern terms, she calls for them to come take her to see the man of God. And the guy says, well, why do you want me to get the horse and stuff to come get you? And she said, it is well. Don't worry about it. Ain't nothing wrong. Baby in there dead on the prophet's bed. And she's saying, ain't nothing wrong. You know why? Because she had faith that the Lord would heal him. Because if the Lord gave him to it, matter of fact, if you read Hebrews 11, it said, and Abraham just assumed that God would bring Isaac back to life if he killed him, because he promised it to him. He's like, look, you promised me the boy. If you want me to kill him, that's fine. Just bring him back up. Ain't no big deal. Have him up by dinner so his mama don't get mad at me. Think about the faith that we're talking about. He was just so focused on God, he didn't really look at the circumstance. And he gets up, and so they go to see the man of God. And the man of God's assistant comes to him and says, hey, the man of God wanted to know what you want. She said, nothing, it's all good. See, sometimes it's important who you talk to about what you're believing for. That was free. See, some of y'all are believing God for stuff, but you're talking to all the wrong people, and they're talking you out of what God's promising you. So you get focused on the word. Do you talk to your friend? Then your friend talks you out of what God's promised you. So then they come up to him. She comes up to the man of God, finally gets up there and says, woman, what do you get? I love how she deals with him. She looks at him and says, man of God, didn't you promise me a son? He's like, yeah. She's like, didn't I tell you not to play with me? Yeah. Preachers hate it when you catch us that off guard. We're like, yeah, okay, crazy woman, what? She's like, my son is dead. So he sends his dude ahead of him, right? And comes back, and pretty much the assistant goes, he's dead. Because I figured this, that if God sends something out ahead of me, surely he's going to fix it, right? I mean, like if you were living the story and not reading it, and the man of God sent his assistant out ahead of him, I would figure it's because he thought the assistant could handle it. Because mama's already on Elijah's head. The word says this. It said that Elijah went and saw the little boy dead. So he sat down and cried and mourned her loss. No. It said, and Elijah, this is freaky, climbed on top of the boy, face to face, hand to hand, cheek to cheek. That's creepy on a dead kid. See, sometimes in order for you to do what God's promised you to do, you can't do what everybody else thinks is normal. If you're going to believe God for stuff, you're going to have to believe it and let people just call you crazy. Because you know what? They'll call you crazy all the way till it works, and then they'll just call you. They'll call you for help. They'll call you for prayer. They'll call you for breakthrough. They may talk about you behind your back on Monday, but when they need you on Saturday, they'll call you. Said he crawled upon him face to face, hand to hand, cheek to cheek, told life to come back into him. And here's what I think he said. God, I ain't going back out there and telling this woman her baby's dead. You said she could have him. Now his daddy done worked him out in the field till he killed him. Now bring him back. And he stayed there until God did it. See, sometimes you got to be willing to keep the faith through the process. See, I think the process kills more believers than the devil does. Because, see, sometimes having what God promised you is a process. People all the time come up to Tracy now and they're like, man, I want a marriage like yours. And I'm like, you sure? No, because are you willing to go through guardrails? Are you willing to walk in unity when what you want to do is have a good old-fashioned melee? Anybody ever wanted to fight with their spouse? I mean, like you were ready to fight, like you wanted an argument. I came in from mowing the yard one time, and because I picked on her, I'm gonna give you the God moment. I walked in from mowing the yard, and I was just mad. I didn't want to mow the yard. It was hot. I was dirty. I was tired, and I wanted to fight. Am I alone in this world? I just feel like it's just me. And I walked in, and I was. She's like, "How?" She said, "Whoo! It took you a long time to mow the yard. Wouldn't have taken that long if I'd have had some help. That'll start one." Well, honey, I had to clean the house. Oh, yeah, but you can clean the house anytime. There's electricity in here and air conditioning. You can clean the house about 24/7. I can only mow the yard in the heat of the day. I'm out here working like a Hebrew slave. You know what my wife said? Look. This one, God's in it. You want to have the marriage, you got to have these points. Because what she wanted to do was turn around and stab me with the sword of the Spirit. You know what she did? She turned around and she looked at me and said, you know what? The Lord called us to walk in unity. And what I want to do is lay you in the shade right now. But instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn the other cheek and go into the bedroom. And I really hope you don't follow me. Because we both need a little time and space or this is going to get out of the hand and the devil's going to use it. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And she like dropped the mic and walked off. You know what I mean? It's like, whew, that was a good message you just preached in our kitchen. Thank you, honey. Because, see, in order to keep the faith for what you want to have, you're going to have to apply the whole gospel. You're going to have to turn the cheek when what you want to do is cut their legs out from under them. And you have the right to do it, but you sold the right when you took forgiveness. Does this make sense? See, faith is about just believing whatever the Word said. And believing it like a child. You ever told your kids some craziness? I used to tell Brandon stupid stuff all the time. You know what I mean? My dad can do anything. You're right, son. Don't tell the other dads. They're losers. Oh, yeah, I told him that. Son, if I ever don't do anything, it's just to make everybody else feel better about themselves. When your mom had to open that jar, it was just about me making her feel good. I mean, y'all ain't got to laugh that hard over that one. I'm just saying. But you know, the funny thing about a kid is you can tell a kid anything and they'll believe. Like, when you do your thumb like this, they think it really went away, right? Like, you really, or you pull a quarter. You ever pulled a quarter out of a kid? Like, you're not even good at, like, sleight of hand. And you're like, it's a quarter. And they're like, really? Then you put about five quarters in your hand. You wiggle the ear like that, drop them on the floor. And they're like, yeah, man of God, right? Yes, I am, baby. Remember, I can do that. And then they get to be about 14 and they want like dollar bills to fall out. And you're like, that spirit has lifted. Yep. Because we believe with childlike faith. Wasn't it Jesus that said, if you really want to enter the kingdom of heaven, you have to learn to have faith like these people do. So if you ask me what faith is, and I'm like going to give you the broken down version, like the one you can process. It's about believing when nothing else makes sense, believing against all odds, believing against all hope, Believing against what's common and makes sense. Faith is about trusting God when everything else says that it shouldn't work. Do you mean to prove it to you? This, I'm kind of bringing the message to close. But if you watch a sinner give their life to Christ, and I mean like really God does something, their story goes like this. If you would have seen me X amount of time ago before I met Jesus, we're not even the same people. When I first got saved, I came in and I told a family member about it, and they looked at me, you know what they said? I give it 6 months or less. Shazam. And you know what? When they said that, I was like, you may be right. I mean, because at the time, I mean, I had sinning down. This whole God thing didn't make a lot of sense to me, but I was going to try. And when I didn't look like a pastor, God still saw me as one. And I kept believing that I could get there one day. And I'll let you know when I do. No, really, because there are days I get up and I just don't feel pastoral. Like I'm in my cargo shorts and my chucks. Well, it's not a lot different than today. And I'm battling my flesh. And something's broke at the house. And a checking account looks a little squirrely. And then I have to remember this, man, I am called and made right. I'm a royal priest to the holy nation. I'm a person belonging to God who set forth to declare the praises of God. Oh, I'm somebody. And you know what? Not only that, I'm the head, not the tail. I'm the lender, not the borrower. God, I gave, and you said that if I give to you, you give back to me, pressed down, shaken together, running over. Well, men come and lay it at my feet. So God, this thing that's wrong, you better send somebody over here to fix it because you told me you would. So I just sit here and wait on them. I start making phone calls. Can I get a witness? People tell me all the time, you know somebody who does everything. I'm like, no, God sends somebody to me who does everything. Can I get a witness? Man, I just believe God. If I need it, God's going to send it to me. Why? Because I do what He tells me to do. And I stay focused on His Word. And if I stay focused on His Word, I don't hear all this other noise around me. If you've noticed, I haven't been on social media very much lately. You know why? Because I got tired of what everybody was saying. I don't want to hear what you have to say. I mean, I love y'all. I don't hear what you got to say. I'm glad you made new pasta and it's pretty. Praise God for it. May the Lord bless you. I'm glad you got a new puppy. It looks wonderful. I'm glad your kids did something. Great. I've just been in a season where I want to know what God has to say. If you're on social media, it doesn't make you less spiritual. It just means we're not in the same season. I'm going to put a bunch of stuff on social media this week. It's all going to have to do with being out of order. But I'm going to say this. If you're going through something, you need to have the faith to believe. To believe beyond what you can see. To believe beyond what you can taste. To believe beyond what you can touch. Because if God's going to do what He's promised you, you're going to have to believe Him. So if you've been battling sickness, keep believing. If you're battling financially, keep believing, man. God's made you promise. If you don't know what the promises are, look them up. If you can't find them, Google them. If you can't Google them, call me. I hope you find them. If you're going through marriage trouble, man, God said stuff over your marriage. If you want to throttle your kids, God said stuff about your kids. If it's about your faith, man, God said stuff about your faith. If you're hopeless, God said something about hopelessness. If you're lonely, God said something about loneliness. Does this make sense, man? There's nothing the Word says that's not common unto man. The internet's new, but the problems it bring isn't. You know, there's a statistic that says 40% of all internet use is pornography. Well, looking at naked people ain't nothing new. Ask David. We just made it easier. We just lowered the rooftop. There's nothing that you're facing that God hasn't prepared for. And more than that, that God hasn't prepared you for. So today I just want to encourage you so much to know what your faith is and know how to keep focused on what the Lord promised you about it. Because faith simply defined is believing God at what He said. What if the government comes after the church? Listen, the government's been coming after the church for the last 4,000 years. It ain't nothing new. Every time you attack Christianity, it grows. Thank you. What about the Antichrist? Not worried about him. I read the end of Revelation too. Right? I mean, I believe in a pre-tribulation church. I believe I'm out of here before it gets crazy. I mean, it's going to be a little crazy. It's like a family reunion. It's going to get a little nuts, but just leave before it gets rowdy. Maybe y'all got a better family than I do. I'm just saying. Are you feeling me? I just trust the Lord. Faith, simply defined, is just trust in the Lord. I'm going to trust the Lord, and I'm going to do it His way. Does that mean when you're sick, you don't take medicine? No, I take all kinds of medicine. If I get a headache, I'm going to pop an aspirin. If I get a cold, I'm going to go take an Advil cold and flu. The orange and the blue kind. That's why if you call me at night and I got a cold and I don't answer, keep calling. Because it works. But you know what? While I'm taking it, I'm trusting the Lord. Because I don't care if the Lord does it from something out of a box or He has to do it something miraculous. Because anytime the Lord says the stuff in the box doesn't work anymore, it'll quit working. Every good and perfect gift in my life comes from heaven above. Whether He boxes it, puts it in a pill bottle, puts it in a little Debbie box, it all comes from the Lord. Does that make sense to you? Amen. That salad comes from the Lord. Those green beans come from the Lord. Little Debbie's come from the Lord.
Amen. In Jesus' name.
Yes. Are you feeling me? Everything. But when you recognize it and you know what? I'm going to operate and I'm going to trust the Lord based on what He's promised me. It may mean you have to look at some people and go, I love you, but I can't listen to you. I'm sorry your friend died, but they don't have in them evidently what I got in me. Somebody should have gotten agreement with that. Everybody in your family's got a horrible marriage. I'm not going to. I'm going to marry me a godly spouse. And we're going to work through our issues. We ain't going to hide them under the rug or stick them in the closet. We're going to deal with them and go on. Yesterday, I celebrated 23 years of being married. Thank you. Appreciate that. But let me tell you something. There were times before we learned how to do things biblically, we thought about quitting. Shocker, maybe. Human, yeah. And then one day we sat down and said, okay, what does God really say about this? And thank God we learned how to do it. And we are spending our life trying to help other people learn how to apply that. You can have whatever kind of marriage you want. You want a bad marriage? Do the things that it... Believe that way. Operate that way. If you want a good one, do what that takes too. If you want to be healed, man, you're going to have to fight for it. You want to be financially free, you're going to have to fight for it. You have to do it biblically. Does this make sense to you? Everything. Seek first the kingdom and everything else happens. It happens by faith. You receive this today. Father, as we come to close, I commit today's service and everything into your hand. God, give us the courage, God, to believe you like children. God, I want to trust you like only I can trust you. God, I want to lean on you like only I can lean on you. God, like a child. But God, my prayer is that everybody else says that same thing, God, that they want to trust you like only they can. And they want to lean on you like only they can. God, that they want to see you doing them what only you can do. Father, today I commit this service into your hand, God. I ask that you find glory and honor in everything that was done and in everything that was said. Now, if you're visiting with us right now, or maybe you're a long timer and you say, you know what, I've never asked Christ into my heart. I've just never made God the Lord of my life. But you know what, I'm going to trust Him not only with my current life, but I'm going to trust Him with my future. Or maybe you say, man, I asked you into my life a long time ago, but I've walked away and I just need to rededicate my life. I'm not going to do anything to embarrass you. I'm not going to do anything to single you out. But if you're here and that's you and you say, you know what, I just want you to pray with me. I just want to rededicate my life and kind of get it back on the right track. Will you just slip your hand up with every eye closed, nobody looking around? Will you just, thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else in this house that just say, you know what, I just got to trust God again. Or maybe I've got to trust Him for the first time. For the hands that went up in this place, I'm just going to ask every person here, saved, not saved. Maybe you struggle to find the courage to raise your hand, but I'm just going to ask you right now, if just to pray this prayer with me. And I believe the Word says this, that if a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, then he shall be saved. Will you pray that prayer, every person, woman, man, child across this building? Will you just pray this prayer with me? Dear Father, I ask you into my life. I believe in you. I trust you. And I thank you for loving me. Father, forgive me of my sins. Make me right with you. Today I dedicate my life to you, the living God. Father, give me faith to trust you with every aspect of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Man, I thank you for those who rededicated your life, those who maybe gave your life to Christ this morning. Man, I celebrate that. I'll be honest with you. I think that there are seasons in our life where we realize that we've just wandered away, or maybe we have that epiphany that we just need God. But I'm going to say one other thing before I dismiss. And I know today's service has gone much longer than normal, but there was a guy one time who Jesus prayed, it was getting ready to minister to, and he said, "Do you believe?" And the man looked at him, and I think this is important because it's going to affect you at some point when you begin to really trust God. He said, "Jesus, I believe, but even so, help my unbelief." It is totally normal to believe and simultaneously wrestle your unbelief. Don't lose faith. God understands. And you know what Jesus looked at him and said, you dog, you're not going to get anything. Get out of here. That's not what he said. Jesus looked at him and said, "I'm going to do it for you. I'm going to do it. I know you got a battle going on inside of you. I know that there's part of you that believes and you really believe, but there's this other part that you just keep having to beat down and choke out. I understand, baby. I got you. You ever promised your kids something they believed you, but they didn't believe you? Really? You're not. Yes, you are. No, you're not. Yeah, and you're like, honey, you're just talking to yourself now. It's okay. I'm glad God let me see that in my child, because God sees it in me all the time. God's going to help your unbelief. You receive that? Man, if you're visiting with us for the first time, it's sunny outside, so my wife and I will meet you outside. We'd love to just shake your hand, hug your neck, greet you, answer any questions you have. We'd love to give you one of these super cool T-shirts just because we want to thank you for being here. I have people all the time go, man, because these are great shirts. The church invests quite a bit in them. And people say, man, why do you give a shirt to a visitor? And we're like, man, because we want them to know that we thought about them before they were here. We prayed for you before you ever showed up. We thank God for you before you ever got here. And here's our prayers, that when you leave here, you're going to take a shirt with you. And when you see that shirt, it's going to remind you, hopefully, of something that God spoke to you or said to you when you were here. And maybe you may not come back for 6 months. Maybe you may not come back for 6 years. Or maybe you never come back to this church, but that God uses it as a reminder to bring you home. And that's to bring you into a right standing with Him. So that's our prayer with it. Besides that, they're just cool. And we hope you wear them and enjoy them. So if you're visiting with us, Liz is going to lead the congregation as you stand. And one worship song, but myself and part of the leadership team will be outside. We just want to visit with you and let you know how much we love you.
Thank you for tuning in to Thrive Church. We hope today's message touched your life. You can share your testimony with us at amen@thrivealamance.com. If you would like to support this ministry financially, you can do so at thrivealamance.com/give.